Our reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 27 and verses 1 to 20. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for his elder son, Esau, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats, so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food, just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of her elder son Esau, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goatskins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Amen.
In this series of women in the Bible, we will be looking at Rebekah this morning. What do we know about Rebekah? This is your chance to show me, and I can just go home and say, "Wow, they know everything. You don't need me here." Do we see her as someone young? Do we think those photographs are representative of what we feel Rebekah looked like? Rebekah came from Abraham's lineage. She was Isaac's wife, and she gave birth to twin boys. But perhaps she is most famously known for helping her youngest son, Jacob, obtain Esau's birthright, a story where neither Rebekah or Jacob appear to be seen in the best light. More, does the story of Rebekah have anything to say to us today? Well, there we go. Do you spell it the same way? No. I once made the mistake. I had a class at the intake of 5-year-olds, and I was just told I had a Rebekah, so I wrote Rebekah. Her father was a vicar. He came in the next day very somewhat angry with me that I'd misspelt his daughter's name, and he proceeded to correct me and tell me how it was spelt properly. I said, "Thank you," and had to change about 10 books. So, yeah, it's a name to be proud of. She was a smart woman. And does she have anything to say to us apart from that, if you're named after us? After all, she's in the book of Genesis, and for some people the Old Testament seems so distant, probably not even relevant to the lives we live today. I don't know if many of you know Dorothy L. Sayers. She wrote Lord Peter Wimsey. That's why I know her. She once said, "The Christian faith is the most exciting drama that has ever staggered the imagination of men." And it's continuing today. The drama's ongoing and we are part of it. And like any book or drama, context is crucial in helping us understand what we're reading or watching. I mean, it's very hard, isn't it, Sol? Sorry, I don't know your name. To try and understand something if you don't know the beginning of the film or the beginning of the book. Ugh. Jesus and his disciples quoted the Old Testament many times. For example, in Matthew 22, verse 31, where Jesus said, "Have you not read what God said to you?" And even earlier in Matthew 5, verse 17, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." With all this in mind, what is the story of Rebecca telling us? Firstly, Rebecca began the day she met Abraham's servant as she would any other day. She went to the well to fill her jar. But then, the following day, she left her family. All that she knew, all that was familiar to her, to follow the servant of her great uncle, to marry his son Isaac. Why? Can you imagine yourselves doing that? What would your mum say? "Hey, I'm going off somewhere tomorrow, Mum." But you have to put it in context. The answer is both simple and difficult. Rebecca trusted God. She trusted him enough to do as he asked. And how many Christians today have that same trust? To give up everything to do what God is calling them to do. Now, your new minister, he's answering a call from God. And that call is to come here to be your minister. And that's fantastic news. He's leaving something he knows for something unknown, for something new, which is you here at Craigal. Now that's fantastic, it's exciting for both of you. But it's a mixture of emotions. Leaving, starting again. In our married life, we have moved. I stopped counting how many times we moved when I got to 8. And it always hurts, especially when you've got children, to leave those you know behind. But you're moving. And invariably, through God's grace, we have found where we have moved to be exciting, welcoming, as I'm sure you will be to Chris and his family. You know that if God is behind what you are doing, all is well, because God is with you. And I think you as a church here are entering a wonderfully exciting time. Almost feel like moving churches, but I'm not going to go there. So as we continue reading Rebecca's story, and we read what happens, we may begin to wonder if she faltered just a little bit in her faith, whether her faith, Isaac's faith, was tested, because she trusted God. She'd agreed to marry Isaac, who she hadn't even seen. And yet, 20 years down the line, 20 years of being married, she'd had no children. And they were really wondering how this could be, because Isaac knew God's promise to his father. A quick aside. which you all, of course, know. You didn't hear that aside, you didn't need it. So during this time, did they begin to lose their trust in God? 20 years is a long time. Scripture tells us Isaac prayed for Rebekah, and that this prayer was answered, and she became pregnant with twins. And Rebekah was probably over the moon at being pregnant, because if you didn't have children in the Old Testament, this was seen as a punishment by God. You'd done something wrong and God was punishing you. It was also a source of distress, humiliation, because people would laugh at you.
They weren't very nice.
It was a social stigma. Children, especially boys, were considered essential for the continuation of the family name. Something that was probably weighing heavily on their minds. Then we read at a time when she should have been rejoicing, she feels the babies fighting in her womb. And she asks God, why? Why are they doing this? And God answers her. And perhaps his answer helps us to understand Rebekah's story a little more. God says to her in verse 23, just a little further on from our reading, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. That must have been hard for Rebekah to hear. Her longed-for children, they're already fighting. Jacob, as we know, goes on to become Israel and the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Esau becomes father of the Edomites, and they are always at war with Israel. Eventually, they are wiped out. Now, earlier, I said, Rebekah is famously known for helping Jacob claim Esau's birthright. Was this her part in God's continuing story? You see, receiving the firstborn's right, birthright, was an important undertaking. On the death of the father, the eldest son would receive the birthright, and this meant he became the head and spiritual leader of the family. And he also, listen up here, soul, received twice the amount of money given to his younger brothers. It was a really big deal back in the day. But if we continue reading this story, the story of Esau and Isaac, just for a moment, we see that Esau didn't seem too concerned about his birthright. He'd come home one day from hunting and was so hungry, he sold his birthright to Jacob for the stew Jacob was making. He seemed to value material things as and when he needed them. Didn't seem to be really bothered about the spiritual things, about God. In fact, he said when he sold his birthright, "What is the use of a birthright if I'm already dead from hunger?" Knowing this, is this why God chose Jacob over Esau? As Jeremiah reminds us, God knows us before we're born. Knowing all this, do we now see Rebekah's actions in a different light? She would remember what God said to her when the children were in her womb, about the older serving the younger. And by doing what she did, she enabled Jacob to receive the birthright from his father. For God's promise to Abraham to be realized, for us to be where we are today. Rebecca's story shows us how to embrace change with faith. That in doing things, great things can happen. Her faith-driven life offers us guidance when we have decisions to make. Do we, are Christians today able to discern divine nudges, be they little or big, really big elbow nudges from God? Are Christians able and willing to trust God, even when it means facing the unknown? Rebecca shows us that following what we are asked to do by God isn't always easy. And others may not like what God is asking us to do. And how do we as Christians respond to that? Like Rebecca, God has specific purpose for each Christian, for each one of us here this morning, however old we are. Do we know what it is? Have we chosen to do what God asks, or are we struggling with it? It all comes down to, do we trust God enough to do what he asks of us? Thank you.